Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you glad to be here this morning? It's International Sunday. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a Sunday like this. There are also other people. There are also other countries. There are also others than ourselves. We pray, we thank you for a day like this that we have set aside to remember all the countries of the world. Where, Lord, you have taken us to as a church, and where you have not taken us to as a church. We remember all those souls and all those people that, Lord, you love. I pray that on International Sunday like this, you will teach us. You will speak to us individually. That we will take heed to live the lives that, Lord, you want us to live. Thank you for everyone who is here. I pray that, Lord, your presence will be with us. Your presence will cause us to understand and to receive what you have in store for us. Thank you, Father, for changing our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may please be seated. Nice song on International Sunday. And, you know, on a day like this, I want us to be reminded about what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about one thing and one person. It's about God. It's about love. The Bible says God is love. My short sermon is entitled, Away with Selfishness. Away. It's away. Selfishness. Come on. At the back. Kneel. Selfishness. Away. 2 Kings chapter 7. Yeah. It goes. 2 Kings chapter 7. For it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. The problem is when we don't find that which will satisfy our soul. That is the problem. Joel, where have you been? Look at Christianity. We have changed Christianity. When God created Adam and Eve, it was all about God. There was nothing about Adam or Eve. It was all about God. Problems came when the devil took the eyes of Eve and Adam away from God unto themselves. That was the beginning of all the problems. And you and my problems
will become mammoth. It will rise. Our problems will become colossal and august. It will be gargantuan. If we don't take our eyes off ourselves and place it on Jesus, I prophesy over you. If you don't take your eyes off you who doesn't really matter, and put your eyes on God and Jesus who matters and falls in love with him, your problems will kill you. Jesus left everything in heaven. He could have come with angels and his throne and settled in Jerusalem and say, "Hey, Jesus, God, I have come." But he didn't do that. He left everything about himself and came down here. And on, time and time again, people who come around him, he tells them the same thing. That this road, this journey, is not about yourself. Because the problem becomes wilder. Look, those of you who struggle in Christianity, it's because you want to satisfy yourself. That's why. You are where you are because of something you are doing for yourself. So you are actually in conflict with what you have signed on to do. You have signed a contract to keep Jesus the center of your heart, and that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. No. I'll love God with some of my heart, and majority of my heart will be for myself, for my well-being, whether I've eaten or not, whether I'm loved or not, whether somebody cares about me or not. I will consider that and think about those things more than the one that I've signed a contract for to serve and to give my everything to. That is the whole problem of humanity, including Christians in the church this morning. Away with selfishness. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned." The king will lean on somebody's hand. So, I mean, literally, it's like when the king wants something to relax on, it is the person's hand he relaxes on. It means there's somebody that the king depended on. May you be somebody who the king will depend on. Answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would even make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. For doubting me as a man of God and doubting the God who I represent, that doubt will make you not see and eat and experience what God is about to do." Verse 3. "And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit here until we die?'" Remember, if you were sick of leprosy, you were not allowed into the country. You were not allowed into the city. You were supposed to be outside the city so that you don't contaminate others with your leprosy. So these 4 leprous guys, they were out of the gate. They had no access to anything, no light, no internet, nothing. They were just outside the gate. They were supposed to be there until some miracle happens, they get healed, and then they can go and show themselves to the priest. The priest will certify that they are well, and then they will come back and be with their wives and be with their children. Otherwise, no wife, nothing. So they went into verse 4. "So if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We have nothing to lose. Let's go to the enemy's camp. There's something there. Let's go there." Verse 5 says, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come, to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. There was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots, and a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, somebody say, away with selfishness. Four leprous guys. And they said one to another, we are not doing well. Because this day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. If you continue the story, are you following the story? Many of you are lost. I know that. These four leprous guys, they were rejected. And they decided to go into the camp of the enemy. The Syrians were mighty. They were great. And they had gone to war and you know, killed people, captured cities, captured things. So they had a lot of goods, a lot of food. Meanwhile, there was famine in Jerusalem. So the leprous guy decided to go to the enemy camp. You know, if we go and they kill us, we are dead. If they don't kill us, at least we get something to eat. So they went to the camp. And when they went to the camp, when they got there, there was nobody there. There was not one single soldier. And there was food, silver, gold, everything. So they started hoarding, packing it, and going to hide it. And they were doing that. And then they said, wait, verse 9, they said, wait. Today is a great day. It is a good season. It's a good time. But what are we doing? We are just holding our peace. We are just keeping things to ourselves. We are not doing well. Let's go back into our town, our city, and tell the king of what has happened. Now, if you follow the story, you realize that they went back to the city and they told the king, and that's when the Jews came. They came to the camp of the Syrians and they organized everything. That's how come what Elijah prophesied came to pass. The time is coming, food will be nothing. And that's the way God used for food to become nothing. When the four leprous guys were going to the enemy's camp, the Bible says that God made the footsteps of just the four people sound like a great army descending upon the Syrians. So they say, you know what? We ain't get time for fight. And they beat out four guys. And on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. These guys got the greatest opportunity. You see, you and I have one of the best opportunities to be Christians. Are you with me? You probably don't understand. But we have one of the best opportunities to become Christians. God has been good to us. Who are we that he should die for us? Now, since we became Christians, instead of going back and telling others who don't have this experience, instead of focusing our attention on others, we are thinking about ourselves. We are holding the food. They said, well, go to verse 8. What is it? Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and they hid it. and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. So all that they were doing, they were just trying to hold things for themselves. But somehow, one of them said, no, what we are doing is wrong. We were supposed to die of hunger. We were not supposed to have anything to eat. But by some miracle, we have come across all this food. Now, why do we not have to think of others, but think about ourselves only? How much can you eat? How much can you eat? And that is what has become our problems. We have hoarded things. We have become too interested in ourselves. It's true what I'm saying. And once you are too interested in yourself, God takes out his interest. Because that's not how he works. God works when you get yourself interested in him, then he also gets interested in you. When you get interested in your things, he also gets interested in his things. One square. It's a draw. Because if you are concentrating on you, who should he concentrate on? On him. Why should he concentrate on you when you are concentrating on you? It's not fair. You can't have two people concentrating on one person. Yes, it can be. It has to be one, each for himself, and God will be for all of us. That's what I've come to realize. That it is our burdens. Not even the burdens. Because he told Peter that there's nobody who has left anything to come and follow me. There's nobody like that who will lose anything. They will not suffer. So it's not about what you eat or what you drink. It's about who has your heart. And many of you who struggle in the Lord and don't see Christianity well, your heart is not with God. Your heart is with you. In Mark chapter 17, Mark chapter 7 too. That's good. In Mark chapter 7, if it's not there, I'll show you where it is. You are quiet. Rebecca, do you have the wisdom of Daniel? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I finished preaching. Give me good English. I don't want the king. We only have one king. It's Jesus. NASB or NLT.
Your love.
Jalana, it's because your heart is for somebody. That's why your Christianity is not strong. Your heart is somewhere. It's not with God. That's the problem. You are supposed to fall in love with only Jesus. But that is not so. You fall in love with you and what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and who is talking your name and who loves you and who pays attention to you and who will bothering you, and who fighting with you, and who cutting their eye upon you. You are concerned about that. As he was starting out on the trip, a man came running up to Jesus, knelt down and asked him, good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life? You have to do away with selfishness to get eternal life. That's the answer. Boya, you refused the offer because you were thinking about you. Not God. It's you were thinking about. You don't matter. Is that a far right? You don't matter. You are like an ant that can be mashed like that. Selfishness is what makes us create so much problem for ourselves. You continue on that road thinking about you. God stretches forth his hand and said, come and be my servant and preach for me. He said, no, 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 no. I want to go to school. I have something better to do. Good. Sit down there. You see. How do I get eternal life? Let's go on. Let's go. Jesus didn't say you have to leave selfishness, but look at what is happening. He said, why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. Now, as long as you come to this church, you hear about Bible school and about pastor. So if you like, don't come. If you like, don't come. You can be away for 2 months. When you come, you will come and hear Bible school. We are not changing our sermon. That is why we came here. 19. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Do not cheat. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, the man replied, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was a child. I do all the commandments, what the father said. Jesus felt genuine love for this man as he looked at him. This verse is too powerful. Because of the genuine love he felt for the man, now he wanted to tell him the real thing. Real love tells you the real thing. Fake love beats about the bush, makes it up, dilutes it, so that you can handle it. Real love is tough. But you don't like that? You don't like that? Jesus felt genuine love for him. And the genuine love that he felt for him, what did he say? He said, you lack only one thing. He told him. He said, go and sell all you have. Excuse me. What did he just say? Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come. Follow me. You see, you can't follow Jesus when you have things that you care about and you think about. Oh. I'm saying the reason why we are not able to run our race is that we have things that so easily beset us. Things that so easily entangle us. Our hearts and our desires are in things that is not in God. Show me somebody who is in love with God that much, and I'll show you a successful Christian. Verse 22. At this, face turned up. His face fell. And he went sadly away because he had many possessions. We are not talking about a poor man. The poorer you are, the more easy you follow God. Yeah. Because you don't have much to think about. Yeah. Shemika. We have to go back to a place where our taste for life is God. Your heart can never be won by anybody but God. That when you enter into the sanctuary of God, there's a certain glow that comes on your face because you have come to the place where the love of your life dwells. Even as you are sitting down, you are thinking about you. And that's why you can't even understand what I'm preaching about. We don't love God. We love ourselves. But Jesus said, if you really want eternal life, it is the same as selling all your possessions, ridding yourself of everything, and come to me. That is eternal. That's when you get eternal life. That's why he left everything in heaven, so that he will get us the life that we need. Anybody who follows God, he says, take up your cross. Jonathan, what do you do in the night? You eat breakfast before you come to church?
Yes, sir.
Don't eat breakfast again. Don't eat breakfast when you're coming to church, okay? Yeah. Look at how fat you are getting. And you're eating breakfast every morning. And they come and sit in front and then you sleep. 14. How old are you? 13. So when you become 18, you will lie down. You'll give you a bed here. Don't eat Sunday morning. You hear me? We don't eat on Sunday morning. It's a quiet rule we have. I can't come preaching when I'm Belgian. You see, again, your mind is on you. Chris, Thomas, where is he? Yeah? You have to learn this, guys. But those who go into Bible school, you have to learn this. So it is not about you. It's about God. So if I'm hungry, it doesn't matter. I am still with God. You know, some people in life, sister, some people, they fall in love so that they don't even forget to eat. Jalana, true or false?
True.
It's true. And when you're in love, you're not in a hurry to go anywhere. If you go into the presence of somebody you love, you are staying. You have taken one panties in your bag so that you wash the one you are wearing and leave it there. And then tomorrow morning, you have an extra to wear. You ain't going nowhere because you have come to the apartment of the one you so-called love. But you come to church. You see, we don't love God. When we close right now, you see how many of you go through the gate. In fact, once we say the grace, taxi. Before. Yeah. Before. The outside waiting. It's all about self. It's about you. Uh-huh. Whatever it is, it's about you. It has manifested. It's about you. Yeah. It is you. It's about your things. It's about your issues. It's about your timing. It's about everything about you. It's not about God. No, when you preach, when the message is real, you get manifestations of the message. Yeah. You should learn that. Yeah, yeah. It's about us. If we close right now, this is God's house. No, you don't see it as God's house. You see that some building, some lighthouse, some church, some pastor. That's how you see it. So once we close, in fact, it is so strange for people to see that the church, we've closed from church and you are still around. They're wondering, what's going on? Why are you in church? But there's no church going on. Why are you there? Why don't you go home? We are in a hurry to go home, rather. But David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he loved God. We love ourselves all the time. Every day. As long as we love ourselves, we will always face problems in our Christianity. Nobody followed God with anything they had. In fact, for God to really check Abraham, Abraham didn't have anything when God found him. So when he got something, then God wanted to check whether he's still in love with him or he's in love with a boy. So you are here for a boy or a girl. You are in the church because your girlfriend invited you or your boyfriend invited you. It's not about God. It's about you. You want to score points. One boy asked a girl, so if I come to the church, will I get your number? She said, yes, come to the church, you get my number. So when you see him sitting out, you think he came to church? He came for his interest. He wants to get the girl's number so he can text her and call her and get her out somewhere and smooch she and sex she. That's all that he's looking for. That's why he's coming to the church. It's about his interest, what he will gain. Yeah. And let me tell you, as long as your interests are in you, you and problem, you are twins. You and sadness, you are twins. You and frustration and depression, you are twins. Mother and daughter pageant. Now, you can take it or leave it. It's not. I don't mind at all because I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm about. Even if I take everything away and just look at leaving Europe and coming here, you can't match it. You have not matched it as yet. If you will even match it ever. So when I'm preaching about something, I'm telling you something that we have done. And doing that, we were in Linden. The first ever pastor's conference in Linden that we had. Friday night and the whole of yesterday. First night, 175 pastors. Saturday morning, 162 or so. 160 something pastors. The afternoon, 165. We sold up over $100,000 of books. On and on and on and on. It goes. The only love that does not fail is not that guy's love. You are young, and that's why you are stupid. When you grow, you will come to understand whose love you more need. It's not about us, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, if any man will come after me, if any man wants to be with me, if any man wants to be a Christian, he first have to deny himself. Anything you bring on board is going to be a baggage. Because as you are going, you are wondering. As you are going, you are following Jesus. And he said, Jesus, please, my shoes. Jesus, please. Oh, please, Jesus, before you run, Jesus is gone. He turned a corner. And then you're wondering, which corner? There's one on the left, there's one on the right. Which one did he take? Because you are fixing your shoes. You're fixing your shoes. I was telling the pastors, yes, I said, Monday to Saturday is for you. Sunday also, 12 o'clock, you lock the doors of the church. You say it's family afternoon. You are selfish. You are not a good pastor. You are not a good pastor. You don't appreciate God calling you and making you a contractor of his building project, the church. You are not working. You are liming. Instead of building the church, you and some wife and some two pickings, you are enjoying life, family. Selfishness. And people wonder why our church doors, we don't close them. Why is the church there all the time? Why are the people in the church all the time? Because we are telling you that with all that we have, we love God. That's why our church doors are open like that. If Jesus loved himself, he would have stayed in heaven. In fact, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he left and came. He gave the world his only. Why can you not give God your small beating heart? Yeah. Of course, you have to go to work. Yes, of course, you have to do things. But that should not take your attention. If I hope I'm preaching to Christians. I'm not. You see, if you're not a Christian, you can close your ears. It's not a problem. I am talking to people who say they have received Jesus. Those are the people I'm talking to right now. So you can go like the young lady went out. Whether she has an appointment, whatever it's going, it doesn't really bother me. You can follow her. I am talking to people who have recognized that they are sinful and that they need a savior, and they have accepted Jesus as their Lord, and that they are so grateful that they will never lose sight of Jesus. I'm talking to people like that. Not people who think that Christianity is just a part-time something. It is like, even God needs me. The church needs me. That if I go to the church, then they are happy. A pastor should be happy that I come. I'm not talking to people like that. I'm talking to people who believe that you need life eternal. People who are restless and nothing but for Jesus Christ. When I stood on the stage and I was talking to the pastors, I had to correct my mind. I was asking myself, how can I be here talking to pastors? Who am I? What have I done? To be talking to some other pastor. The Holy Ghost had to make me correct my mind quickly and say, hey, hello, do what you got to do. All right, and just go. Because it's like, it has never happened before. 175 pastors together. The pastor who hosted us, Pastor McKinnon, Morris McKinnon, Faith Assembly of God in Wismar. He was blown away. Blown away. And come and see me, yours truly. Yeah. Yeah. On stage. And I preached. I preached from my heart. Yeah. I preached from my heart. And God has been good. Because we can't sit here. You see, if I sit here and I think about only you, I'll die. I'll commit suicide. Because you don't think about me. Michelle, you think about me? Do I even come in your dreams? Never. God doesn't come in your dreams. How much more me? He's a servant. So if I was just going to be here pastoring you, and that's why pastors are frustrated, because they just rely on the people who are there, and the people do not think about the thing at all. Their heart is in something else. So me, who loves God now, I'll say, Jesus, where do I want to go? You want me to go and sell books in London? I'll go. I'll just make sure I do it Saturday, and I'll come Sunday morning and do what I'm supposed to do. But I will not stay with the people in Georgetown because they don't love you. I want to show you that I love you. So I will go to where I want to go. Yeah. I will go. You are seated on Freeman Street. Anything that prevents you from serving God is you. Not Satan. It's you. It's you who likes clubbing. It's you who likes drinking. It's you who likes sexing. It's you who likes gossiping. It's you who... It's you! It's you who has placed family above God. You have placed family above God. God didn't do that. You find family more important than God. You are trying to rewrite the Bible. That's why your problems are like that. You have placed education and your status and yourself and your well-being above God. You die before you get bigger. Because you can't prove God to be a liar. Yeah. Because when you're able to leave everything, give me the song. Sweetie, give me the song. One thing remains. When you are able to leave everything, Tiana, then the only thing for you is God. And then you concentrate on God. And then you fall in love with God. You won't have any distractions because it's not about you. That's why the disciples, they have to leave everything and come and be with Jesus. Sleep where he sleeps. Go where he goes. If there's food, they eat. If there's no food, they are there looking at him. You have to leave everything so that you can fall. Let me tell you, you can't serve two masters. You got to leave and cleave. And if there's no cleaving, it's not that the super glue is not good. You are the bad pair in the cleaving process. They'll say it's the devil, isn't it? It's very easy. It's easy to do. It's Satan. It's you and it's me. Nourish, it's you. O'Neill, it's you. It's about your hair. Yes. It's about your hair. But if you were to go to the army, because when you go to the army, it's something you want for yourself. So it doesn't matter if I take the hair off. But when I come to Jesus, I gotta come. Take me as I am. Why can I not come the way I am? This is all the clothes I have. Why should I get church clothes? Why you are church behave like so? You are the problem, not we church. It's you. And if you don't change, if you don't take things out and keep your eyes on Jesus, problems, issues, you will never be able to solve them. They will come one after the other. Like a flood, it will come. They will come on you. Because you'll be solving family problems. You'll be solving marriage problems, love issues, job issues, money issues. It's too many. By the time you realize you are old, you are dying. Songs, there are songs that are sung. Neil, are you praying? There are songs that are very powerful. Higher than the mountains that I face. You got to know it. Winchester, you got to know it. No, nobody can tell you this. I can just help you keep your mind or put your mind on it. But you have to know that there's something with God that is higher than the mountains you face. Because whilst you put everything aside and you focus on God, you will definitely get to know that no matter the mountain. You see, what we are doing is that we are keeping things. Is that Jamal Luke? Junior Luke? Huh? So are you? And Takama? You finish? Okay. White lady? What we are doing now is that we have all the, we are thinking about ourselves, and we are still trying to covet and to assess our rights to God being greater than our problems, and we don't see it, and it discourages us, and it makes us question whether God is real, whether God has forgotten about you. It makes us question God. But you see, the thing is not God. It is you. It is me. God is higher than any mountain. He created the mountains. How can he allow a mountain to overturn? No. When he is the one who created the mountain. Your priorities are wrong. Many of you, if it's not the type of pastor I am, you won't come here. Even though you say you're a Christian. Stronger than the power of the grave. How do you know? How do you know that he's constant through the trial and the changes that I go through? How do you know if there's no dedication and focus to get to know the person that you've given your heart and your life to? You can't get to know. You can't say these words. It comes by knowing God. Let me, ladies and gentlemen, we come to church, but we don't love God. In fact, those who love God are seen as crazy. They are seen as strange. They are seen as out of the normal. There's something wrong with you. Yeah, you are. There's something wrong about you. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You see, it is going to church, but it is also a sign of your love for the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, he said, I love your presence. I love to be in your presence. It is not just going to church. Going to church is just the surface of it, but the depth of it is that you come because you love the one who dwells here. Jedidiah. On and on and on and on it goes, for it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Does it satisfy your soul? No. God, I love you, but let me go see Shea. Lord, I love you, but when is the husband coming? Lord, I love you, but
when is the money coming? I broke.
Even though you say you love him, but you're still concerned about your money in your pocket. Away with selfishness. Away. 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 Selfishness. Away. Away.
Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and put your hands together for the Lord. My oh my. Away with selfishness.
You would not have had, you would not have had any Lighthouse Chapel here if we were selfish. Higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave.
We're doing it worship style.
And constant through the trial and the change, one thing.
Oh,
remain.
I can testify to that one thing.
One thing.
I don't know about you.
Remain. Your love never gives up. Never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out.
What about
on
my
me.
Love?
Your love never fails.
What about
it never
our love?
Gives up, it never runs out on me. Satisfies my soul.
One.
Never ever have to be afraid.
No!
One thing remains.
One thing, one thing.
One thing remains.
Lift up your hands.
Your love never fails, it never gives up,
oh.
Never runs out on me.
Show some affection, will you?
Your love
show
never
some affection
fails,
for Jesus.
It never gives up, it never runs out on me. Oh,
your love.
Your love never fails.
He has proven his love
up.
For you.
It never runs.
What about you?
On me.
He has proven his love
your
for you.
Love
what about
fails,
you? What is he going to see?
Up.
That you love him.
Out on me, oh.
Your
love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of your grace.
Show Jesus some affection, come on.
Your love never fails, it never gives up,
ah.
Never runs out on me.
What about my love? God! What about my
fails,
love?
It never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love, your love.
Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me.
On and on,
on and on, and on and on. You are here this afternoon. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, very quickly, you want me to pray with you, just lift up your right hand. You're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. God bless you. I see that hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want eternal life. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I'll ask you to come to me. Come. Come on, pray for you. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come.
Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
Right here. God bless you.
Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Oh, clap for them.
Lead me.
Wow. God bless you. If you're here in front, just close your eyes with me and say this prayer with me. Say with me. Heavenly Father, church, join in as we say the prayer together. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
And make my heart your home.
Make my heart your
home.
I believe
that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell.
I
am born again now. And
my
name is written in the book of life.
Thank you, Father,
for saving my soul. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.